Ice Lord, aka the real Ice Lord, aka African Jesus, man. You know what I'm saying? And you rocking with Hip Hop Digest.
Hip Hop Digest.
Hip Hop Digest.
Hip Hop Digest.
Funny thing about the blacks.
Excuse me?
All your huffing and puffing really gets you nowhere, does it?
What are you talking about?
You run around the street with your bandanas and your lowriders and your flash your. What do you call it? Your cheddar and your guns, and all you end up doing with them is killing each other, killing each other, killing each other, killing each other, killing each other.
Wow.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Keller.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, Z Green, who just heard that nigga growling that shit.
Wow.
That nigga said, damn. With your, what do you call it?
Your cheddar. You're riding around the street with your guns
that
and your low
was
rider.
Like, yeah, he did the whole shit. He was like, in your bandanas.
Damn.
You blacks.
Very well written and acted.
You blacks. Just end up killing each other with all that shit.
Wow, that's crazy. That's what's good. Yo, no doubt. Welcome to another episode of the Hip Hop Digest. First of all, I'm going to give a shout out to DJ Q. You know, obviously Friday is recording day, and it also, as of the last couple of weeks, it's been 45 Fridays. I'm into that and shit, because I'm an old dinosaur nigga with 45s. So I like to show those off on the text chain. Shout out to everybody
just so
involved.
You know, I'm in training. I'm waiting for my weights to come in, but I'll be in there soon.
All right. That's what's good. And any other DJs, yo, let's get it. Come on. Get it on.
Yeah, text course, chain.
Text chain.
Text chain thing.
That's where all the inside baseball talk is. I'm going to say it once. I'm going to continue to say it. If you're listening to the Hip Hop Digest and you really want the inside baseball, you got to be on the text chain. That's where all the action's at.
And it's easy to get.
No doubt. No doubt. And our man, you know, shout to Swervin. E Color is the moderator and shit. Now, look, real talk, if you get out of pocket.
Oh, you get hammered.
You'll get hammered. And you might get, I ain't even gonna lie, you might get blocked. There's certain rules, so, you
that
know.
Goes for anybody, though. Anybody can get it, and anybody can give it.
I so. Know. Matter of fact, yeah. Speaking of the text chain, nigga, I caught a shiv in the back from you earlier this week. Off that off that Anderson Pack of shit. You call that nigga Terrence Trent
nigga,
Darby.
Because I was listening to the show, and I'm sitting there like, what? Okay, I listened after we, you know, I said I was going to listen to Anderson .Paak, and I did. And I was like, yo, this nigga R&B. I mean,
of course.
I'm not understanding why it's important. Like even, I said to Dave, and like, why are we, when have we ever compared a rap or hip hop or MC artist against somebody like Bruno Mars? We've never done that shit before.
No,
but see, you missed it.
There you
go. Missed
the
one part
you.
Of the show last week. He said this is the R&B digest. He did preface that before he said that.
Yeah, so I did hear that part.
And
but.
My opinion was talent based. That a lot of other cats is getting a lot of public pub for their talent, and I'm like, Anderson .Paak is more talented than them. That's all.
All right, and on that note, as I will, you know I'm known to do it. I'll back off and say, you know what? I did miss that because I heard it live when you said that shit. But when I was listening, I was doing shit, you know, because I wasn't recording. So I was doing shit and listening, and I forgot about that part. So I take that back. But Anderson .Paak is not a bad artist. I'm not saying that at all. I was just wondering what that correlation was. So
damn.
There we go.
Terrence Trent D'Arby, indeed.
Say that.
All right, yo, let's get into it. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest. This goes out to Adam, who sent us a nice letter. What up, Adam? He said he wanted to know about licensing for music on podcast. And his question is it legal to submit a show to Mixcloud with copywritten songs or that you list on their forum each episode, then upload them to iTunes, the whole shit? And basically what he's saying is that, are we paying people when we playing songs at the end of the show?
And I'll answer that since I am the music guy.
My man.
The answer is no. We are not. We're illegal like a motherfucker over here. And if they ask us to take that shit off, we will take it off. We won't have a problem with taking it down.
Right.
We get a notice, DMCA or whatever it's called. We would take this shit down and be like, all right, peace.
No doubt.
But may I add in the, since 2006 or whatever we started this shit, that no one has ever said, yo, take my shit off, don't play my shit. Matter of fact, we get the opposite. Because right. we don't play that typical radio shit where they're going to be looking to get that anyway. We plan people that deserve airtime but don't get it typically.
True.
And two, also you got to remember too, they are typically, if you're just starting out your podcast, Adam, unless that shit's really blowing up and it's worth their while to come after you on some dumb shit, you know, then they will. I don't know if we're getting enough streams like that. We're a very small community. You know what I mean? I don't think it's worth their while. But if you start your podcast and it blows up big, oh, trust me, they're going to get you for that money, nigga. So that's what's good. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Amazon takes a direct aim at Jay-Z's title. The hip hop icon Jay-Z title and his streaming company may be caught in Amazon's crosshairs as they look to dive deeper into the music streaming business. The e-commerce company recently launched its free version of Amazon Music, and now they want to get into the high fidelity service, which has been Tidal's claim to fame. Goldman Sachs says streaming will reach $80 billion by 2030. The question is, does Jay-Z and Tidal have enough money to outmuscle Bezos and his money on the streaming platforms?
You already know that's a negative.
The short answer is hell no, because Bezos' money is crazy long and he's willing to spend it just like that. I don't know if Jay's willing to spend that kind of bread to try to compete.
Talk about a takeover.
Well, I think Jay, knowing, and I'm sure the people who are advising Jay is saying, look, if Amazon gets into this high fidelity shit
and it catches on,
well, we might want to go ahead and bring our brand over. See, you look good standing next to Bezos, right? And so you bring that title Amazon thing together to go up against Apple's, to go up against, you know, Google's and them niggas.
But Amazon doesn't have to do that because they got a billion-dollar market already.
Yeah, but I don't know. Because Amazon streaming, I don't even know if that ranks fourth as far as, you know, market share on that streaming shit. There are people, I'm sure, on the text chain who will let me know that. But I think it would be good. And I bet Hov and them niggas is already proposing, look, let me bring my brand of star power standing next to Bezos saying, okay, all you Apple niggas and shit, get ready. Here we come, you know. And he got wifey standing next to him and he got all his celebrity friends standing next to the man and standing next to the man's man. I don't know. I'm just saying, if I'm Tidal, I'm trying to make that move.
That is a very good proposal because he could use Bezos' money.
Yes.
To prop up Tidal and make it bigger. But looks like Bezos is trying to do his own thing.
Oh, now, right. Bezos might come in and shit and be off that hard flex and shit and be like, nah, nigga, I'm muscling all niggas out the game.
I'm about to make another Jay-Z.
I mean, there's no question about that. You're right. I mean, Bezos' money is an crazy, obscene amount, right?
Crazy.
Right. Ain't damn. All the ad-libs are coming back to haunt a nigga, too. So, I mean, his money is just outrageous, and he could do it himself, but I don't know. I think even Bezos people is like, damn, if we bring that whole title and then the Jay, and then it's all we, you know, you seeing Jay and wifey every time you open up your Amazon shit to order trash bags and shit, I don't know.
Have you ever known McDonald's to buy some other franchise?
Not to my knowledge.
Probably not. So that's the way Amazon is, yo.
Well, no. McDonald's did have a significant portfolio invested in Chipotle. Now, I don't know if they still holding a lot of paper on Chipotle or not, but now I think behind the scenes there might be some jump offs.
Right. Behind the scenes, okay, there may be some Berkshire Hathaway shit popping off.
Right, right, right.
But that probably was McDonald's going after Chipotle, though, right?
Well, no, they're two totally different restaurants.
No, I'm saying, I understand that, but I'm saying getting that money, because as we say, if Amazon was to buy Tidal, Yeah, they could do that, but don't you? I don't see where. See, Amazon. I just, in my little mind, I see Amazon having so much money that they not worried about nobody else and what they doing and whatever. You know what I'm saying? Unless they was like, hostile takeover, let's just pay for their shit and bring it in our shit. Not Jay-Z going running up saying, yo, I got these amount of subscribers, my nigga, it was good.
Jay ain't got, no, but the upside for Amazon would be in the same way that, did Apple really need to buy Beats?
Yeah.
And they only did that because, see, kids, you know, they like that brand shit. They into that shit. You know, the music is all the same to me, but your kids are into that brand shit. So if Wifey and Hove is standing next to Bezos, that's a brand. The same way, right? Yeah. That's the same way. That's the same way with Apples and them niggas and Dr. Dre. It's just a brand. They didn't need it, you know. They just put $1 billion in his pocket.
Yeah, I'm sure they got it though.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what's good. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is...
That's it for the $1 billion digest?
Yeah, that's it for the portfolio digest. It's crazy. We got back-to-back singles here that are released, and we're going to discuss them. First, we're going to take the old Joyner Lucas Devil's Work, where Joyner Lucas is in the church, gripping a Bible, shaking his fist at God.
Doing a lot of blaspheming.
Don't play with God.
Hey, I seen Hennessy, open bottle of Hennessy in the church. You know what I mean? But ironically enough, besides all the blaspheming, the Lord would probably expect you to talk to him more in a direct way, so you don't have to front with God. But beyond that, the song itself, to me, Joyner Lucas is an unbelievable talent. Musically, the track B, I'm never, ever, ever going to be into the track. I'm just not going to be into the track, which unfortunately has me not into the song. Now, was he saying some shit? Oh, he was throwing a few cats under the bus. R. Kelly, Suge Knight. You know what I'm saying? Jay Zimmerman, you know, all of those type of cats, as well as the Trayvons and the Sandra Blands, where he's uplifting. We lost those lives, along with, obviously, all the MCs, like we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, the culture of death. I think the song itself is a good song. Again, it displays his talent. That's the type of talent on the mic that will have you examining the song, because I may not be into the track musically, but I will go back and examine the record some more, because I think it was an excellent record from a guy who's proven to be an excellent lyricist if he's channeled and directed in the right way. If you let him go off half cock, he might make some bullshit, you know what I mean? So I don't know what y'all brothers think about it.
I heard the song, and like I said, besides the blaspheming and all that shit, I was like, yo, this nigga is spitting his ass off. He is definitely spitting. Mm-hmm. And questions that he had to ask. You know what I'm saying? And like, damn, okay. I was like, okay. I really don't have anything negative to say, because I like the track. I know you're not fucking with it. But I like the track. I like the lyrics. So, hey, I give him a B. On the project.
A B is probably fair. I'll probably go C plus, because again, it's minus the music, but love the lyrics. So that's where I am.
Well, as I got the homework to do it, I listened to it and I went through a whole bunch of different thoughts. My first thought was like, what the fuck is this? I heard the music. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I heard him, what he was saying in the beginning. I'm like, damn, this is DMX. DMX was making records, talking to God, stuff like that. But then I really start focusing, because the whatever version I had the lyrics where I could read it. And I was feeling it. I was like, yo, forget the music. This dude is really saying some important shit that needs to be said. And I also felt like this kind of situation could change the game. You know what I'm saying? Because people, just different things I've been seeing lately, people raising the bar with their bars. So that part, that was the ending feeling for me. It was like, damn, he was really saying some shit. And damn, this could really change the game. But at the same time, when I heard you two just say yours right now, and, you know, with all due respect and love, I say, King Killer, sometimes I feel like you be on that high horse. And Kurt, you on the middle horse right now, as far as the religion and him blaspheming and all that kind of stuff. But I don't have a problem with it, because maybe that's his relationship with God. Because we all got our own different relationships with that, right? So I think it was more important for me. It was more important on what he was saying, like real shit that we don't hear a lot. It was just him being poetic with his relationship with God and put it on a record.
Oh, that's real. And as far as that, as far as my high horse, as you put it, I don't know. To me, that's just an understanding. You're right. Everybody has their own personal relationship with God. My relationship, as far as that goes, is that God is, there's only one righteous judge. Okay. And he's going to run this shit the way he want to run it. Period. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So in that aspect, I'm accepting of a lot more things that somebody like Mr. Lucas is questioning. That's all.
No doubt.
You know, but again, I think we all agree that here lyrically, we're sitting up here talking about this. So lyrically, it makes an impact that we have been longing for.
Oh, lyrically, this is an outstanding record.
Yes.
Yeah, we all agree on that. Yes. Without a doubt.
No doubt.
He got in. And he, again, like you said, the names he named, but even the situations he was talking about,
right?
We don't hear about in records.
Oh, again, like I said, see, and this is what you want. You want this to come out in a paradigm shift. And again, like I said, if this is a result again of Nipsey's demise, I'm like, wow, you know, it's pretty powerful. It is. You know, no doubt. So, you know, we'll see how big of an impact the next, you know, Canadian Mountie. Right, will it squash shit like this on some dumb shit?
It probably will.
The next Migos nut shit that niggas is rhyming about dumb shit. You know, we'll see. I don't know.
But you know what? At the end of the day, it's okay for that shit to be made. It's okay.
What
the problem is, we just don't have the diversity to hear more stuff like this Lucas shit. But that may, again, paint a broader stroke in people's minds, like, oh.
Right, and I'm hoping for that. I'm just saying, usually when that dumb shit comes, it's such an avalanche of dumb shit and press coverage for it, you True. Know? So,
and he explained that in that song.
Yeah, no doubt, right. So he did. It is an excellent song that I gotta go back and I'm gonna study some more, quite frankly. So,
Real quick, because of that brings up another quick question, is like, how, like, really, when you look at it, how often does rap change? Because it changed from the Ba Diggy Ba to real lyrics to incredibleness in the glory days to whatever in the 90s, end of the 90s and the thousands. It changes. So are we in the window for a change?
Well, it depends. You know, a lot of people will say, I'm just going to take the dominance of the South. Okay, and as the South comes into hip-hop, I mean, obviously you had, like, the Outkasts and the Ludacris and, you know, the Jive Ghetto Boys, that type of, you know, you had wordsmiths. So there was the rise of the South, but they were wordsmiths, and they were all so integrated into hip-hop that it was not, you felt like hip-hop kept going. And so when we're talking about a change, how often does hip-hop change? I mean, so whatever a ringtone rapper was is no longer. I don't know what that was, but that situation was big for a hot minute. And I guess I kind of feel like, you know, the mumble days may be behind us. Now, what was a mumble?
Ringtone went to mumble.
Okay. So, you know, that is all intermingled with street and drug rap. So it seems like everybody who gets on, let's say if Colorado and Wyoming or that part of the country get on, you know, I don't know what type of rapping we're gonna have, but you're going to have their drug spots on blast. You know, everybody wants to rep their drug spots. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know. I feel that maybe, and I could be wrong, but that's why I said I'm looking at future releases from Mumble Axe to see what is the temperature here. You know,
okay. If they, and to see if we'll have more of the lyrical stuff.
Right, too, no doubt.
If there's more.
If these Mumble Cats continue to blow big, then we are not out of the Mumble forest yet.
Well, Joyner is one of them cats who's pretty well known, right?
Yeah, he is. But again, I mean, it depends on how the general public feels about it. You know what I'm saying? You
got they're not playing that in the club.
Right.
And see, and see, I feel like I have to do this every time we talk about stuff like this and on this level, is I have to separate things. See, we're talking about on a commercial level. Hip-hop has never changed. It's still going on. There's always been lyrics in the underground, and it's still lyrics in the underground. So it's everything in the underground, not everything, but a lot of things in the underground are on a lyrical level. So you hear lyrics being spit. Maybe not on a Jordan Lucas level, but you're hearing lyrics being spit in the underground. So it's not
so, but
like it's not like they're lyrics aren't out there. Like all we have is just all a whole mumble zone right now.
But
and we're waiting for things to switch.
But isn't Swerve asking at some point when or is mumble, or I would say when is the commercialization of dumb shit?
Right, that's what he's
end.
Asking. That's what
right.
that's why when, I had to
right.
separate things.
Right.
He's asking on a commercial level, when is it going to change commercially
right.
that more of
correct.
This Jordan Lucas style shit gets played, right. or at least more lyrical shit gets played on a commercial level, instead of just all this mumble type or just whatever shit that they're playing right now. And I'm saying it's not going to happen because commercially, these corporations have gotten a hold of this shit and they ain't letting go. They figured out how to make this shit and how to make it profitable, and they ain't letting go of their money, B.
That's real. That's
that
real.
Part.
That's real. No doubt. Cautious words from Kurt G. And on the second single that was released, we have your boy, the DMV's own Logic with Eminem, record called Homicide. Apparently, it was just released recording day. And me and Kurt G., Swerve already heard it. We listened to it. I'm going to say this, okay? Once again, musically, that's just track-wise, instrumental, I'm out.
Nigga, what I'm looking at you, let me tell the people listening. Real quick, I'm sorry, real quick. I got to tell this part because when you turned it on, if you were a referee, you threw the flag before the fucking play even. Niggas wasn't even set up on the line and you threw the flag.
niggas was in the huddle?
Niggas was in the huddle and King Killer threw the flag. They was walking. They had just break out of the huddle and he threw a fucking flag. Literally. He just like.
Like, oh, fuck out of like here with this shit, niggas. Y'all can't even play. Take them uniforms off.
So.
I'm sorry. I just had to share that. Though.
No doubt. No doubt. So. Listen to the cut. Musically, of course, I'm out. Listening to the cut, and Logic starts. There's zero soul to Logic. He sounds like a kid who's rhyming as fast as he can and is trying to squeeze in as many words as he can to sort of keep up of the, what the looming storm is coming. So... what can I say? I know there's guys out there who are Logic guys. I'm just not one of them. Now, conversely, when Eminem comes in, and as bad as Eminem's music has been to me, Eminem is a professional MC. Eminem comes in with tone. Eminem comes in with purpose and is riding the absolute hell out of that beat. And it's teaching young Bo, see, this is how you do it. You know what I mean? You know, your man Logic is fucking running a million miles. You sound like a goddamn chipmunk. And your boy Eminem is just, yo, he's murdering the track. Yo, real talk. So
and that's the funny thing to me. Is
not you,
B. When I, huh?
Not you, son. Not, I know you was out on Eminem for a minute.
Oh, well, let me explain.
Yeah.
When I listen to this record, I'm hearing Logic and I'm like, damn, this sounds like this regular ass Eminem shit that I don't fuck with. Right? I was tuning out with every fucking fast word he was saying. And like Killer said, when Eminem came in, I was like, oh, that's the Eminem that I used to fuck with. That guy.
Yes. Because
he absolutely destroyed that shit.
Yes. I mean, a lesson was taught. Yeah, a lesson was taught. Logic, if that's your hero and you trying to be him, you better take some lessons, B. Because you just got dusted.
he took a mega dusting. And for me to round this whole thing off, I was like, I'm listening to the track. And I was almost like Killer. As soon as the track came on, I was like, I'm really not feeling the track. I'm not really fucking with this track like that. Damn. And then Logic starts rhyming. But see, unlike you two, I'm listening to Logic spit. So I'm like, okay, I hear Logic spitting. And I see him trying to do some new type of fast rap shit. Because everybody on their fast rap shit. So I see him trying to do some new type of shit. And he's speeding up even an extra notch on this shit. Like he's extra, like going even faster. Like he's still on some chipmunk shit. I'm like, what the fuck? This nigga's trying to squeeze as many fucking words as he can in a bar. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here, yo. And then he's on some Slim Shady. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Stop it. Just stop it. And spit some words so people can understand what you're saying.
Right.
So at least we can break it down before we have to watch the video with the words on it to see what the fuck he was actually saying. You know what I'm saying? So, but then, like I said, I'm listening, and the funny part is this nigga back here was like, yo, turn that shit off. I was like, yo, B, I'm waiting for Eminem to come on. I want to hear Eminem get on the track, B. He's like, turn that shit off.
Damn, I couldn't hear you, but I could see you.
Because he was sick of it already. I'm like, B, I'm trying to wait for Eminem to get on. So then M jumps on the track, and I'm like, oh, okay. This is more like it. So he should just gave the track to M and let him do his thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because this is Eminem at his best.
Yeah.
Right here. Right. This is how everybody that got out on M was like, M's on some bullshit. This is the M that they want. Right.
That's
here.
Me. Right, no doubt.
Yeah.
So he killed it. I was like, okay, yeah, M is doing his thing on this track. And overall I gave the track a C- and M saved it because it would have got a D. But because M got on it, he brought it up to a C-.
I don't know, yo. Motherfucking young boys can say what they want, but see, that's the motherfucking problem and shit, yo. You got motherfuckers out of control, young boys with no direction and shit. And here come the old veteran Eminem and shit, and, you know, whipping the llama's ass.
Let me show you how to do this, son. So to round it out, I give him a flat C on that, but Eminem saved it. Otherwise, I wouldn't give a fuck.
M saved the hell out of that track.
Yeah, no doubt. Gee, I got a quick question. Are we recording? Because I see nothing coming up as far as that goes.
There it is,
V. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see any VU meter. I got shook for a minute.
He was getting, you got shook because the screen just switched over, B.
Okay. So, yeah,
but we're still recording.
All right, I got shook for a minute, yo.
So,
man.
I'm leaving this in, by the way.
Okay, no
halfway
problem.
Halfway crooks.
No doubt. So, all right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is that we lost two important persons this week, and it's unbelievable. Rest in paradise to the gods always, and we try to honor them on this show as best we can. Federal Judge Damon Keith, and of course, John Singleton. And this week, the roundup is brought to you by NBC News' own Brian Williams.
Last thing before we go here tonight, we want to pause and remember two men who blazed their own trail in very different ways and at very different ends of the same long ongoing struggle. Federal Judge Damon Keith died yesterday, and you need to know who he was. Born the grandson of slaves and the son of an auto worker, he remained a proud Detroiter all his life. He was equally proud graduate of Howard University Law School, where he was taught by the great Thurgood Marshall. It was Lyndon Johnson who put Damon Keith on the federal bench just 3 years after the Civil Rights Act. It was Jimmy Carter who elevated him to the Circuit Court of Appeals. Judge Keith was simply one of the most important federal judges of the last 100 years. While his legacy lives on forever in housing and integration cases, his most famous ruling led eventually to the release of the Watergate tapes after he found that transcripts must be released if wires had been tapped without a warrant. Nixon's Attorney General John Mitchell sued Judge Keith, but the Supreme Court had his back, unanimously knocked that down. Years later, the judge stood up to Bush 43 on illegal deportations after 9/11, and he won. Judge Keith presided as a senior federal jurist until just recently. And this man who served in World War II in a segregated army, this man who rode on segregated trains as a student, who said he was reminded of his own blackness each and every day. He was so proud of the fact that he never held anyone in contempt of court in his courtroom because of his lifelong vow to show kindness always and fairness and stay positive. Federal Judge Damon Keith was 96. And then just today, we learned of the death of John Singleton. In his time and in his own way, he shed more light on inner city life than a dozen federal judges could. His breakthrough film, Boys in the Hood, showed us South Central, the part of L.A. that's so far below the Hollywood sign, it was invisible to every other director before him. He was nominated for an Oscar for Best Director, first African-American ever in that category. And by the way, he was 24 at the time, not even a year out of USC film school. That started a life in directing for film and TV, the body of work he now leaves behind. John Singleton died of complications following a stroke. He was just 51 years old.
Wow.
Rest in peace.
Salute to both of those heroes.
Yes, salute.
No doubt. Thing I have to say, John Singleton, I remember for me personally reading the articles in The Source as the Boys in the Hood ramps up, and he was talking about how films, especially when they cover hip-hop topics, didn't get it right. And one of the things that he talked about is when the young guys in Boys in the Hood were growing up, how he used period correct music. Like, you weren't going to have, you know, the super MCs of the day. And when you're seeing young guys growing up in South Central, you know, he was playing, you know, Early Run and Nucleus and things of that nature, being very period correct with the music. And I remember that about him. And for me, actually, the most haunting thing about Boys in the Hood was at the end when they was like Doughboy 2 weeks later was killed. Yo, that crushed me. Yo, that was so haunting for me. Yo, yo, rest in paradise, King. What can I say, man? It's just a huge loss.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, I was in shock, you know, to be 51 years old and stuff. And again, because I'm up there, I know y'all around me, but we're up there, and mortality starts to set in. It's like, damn, I just want to make sure that I'm here doing what I'm supposed to do for however much more time I got here, yo. And I'm just take moments like that, because you don't know when the time is coming, so just enjoy shit instead of being all stressful about shit.
Yeah, no doubt. And then too, again, I don't want to overshadow a federal judge, Damon Keith. I mean, look, you know, he rode segregated trains, served in a segregated army, and unlike Clarence Thomas, he was reminded of his blackness every day. So certainly this is our lineage. This is our heritage. This is what we got to teach our kids about, these type of people.
Well, we definitely need to do that and peel them away from the social media celebrities.
No
who
doubt.
Just eat a fucking slice of pizza on the internet and they're famous. You know what I'm saying? We got to help change the priorities, B.
Indeed. So again, that's how we do on the Hip Hop Digest. Rest in peace. like Swerve said, to both of those heroes. Indeed. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is We Are Not Friends, on the relationship between hip hop artists and critics. I pulled this off of some blog somewhere, some site, where they're basically talking about how the critics, and this is commercial rap, so I'm gonna stop you right there, Kurt G. This isn't underground. We ain't got underground cats. We don't got nothing to do with it. This is commercial rap, about commercial rappers getting upset at, guess what, commercial cats, like up at the New York Times or any of the LA papers or the Washington Post, who write critiques of their music. Okay, and sometimes the critiques are not very good.
You know, softballs?
No, not all the time. And see, you got commercial rappers used to going to outlets, specifically in black outlets, or those commercially viable outlets who want to make beds and serve milk and cookies and getting that type of treatment. But they're not getting that type of treatment at everything. Now, this is commercial guys.
These are the opposite of Dick Ride blogs?
These are the somewhat opposite of Dick Ride blogs. They're just going to write an article. I think Lil Yachty album is full of immature, simple lyrics, not ready for prime time. And then Yachty, if he wanna, is talking about, I'm going up to New York Times to pull up on that motherfucker. No, you're not. No, you're 21 Savage, and every last one of them niggas is pissed. No, you're not. But it just, the problem, and I say it, and I've said it a couple times, we haven't matured in hip hop. There's no space for critics. There's no space for, you know, a guy who may listen to it, and maybe he writes a column at a small town paper, and he finds the Canadian Mounties music to be whack. I mean, there's no space for him. You know?
He's going to lose his job.
Right, he's going to lose his job. And of course, you know, they'll dismiss shows like ours as just being old and hateful, and that's fine. I'll be that.
Shout out to Red Man.
Yeah, I'll be that. But, you know, I mean, again, we are not friends. Again, why do rappers think that the media is meant to serve them?
Because they go up to these radios. My bad. Because they go up to these radio stations and stuff, like you said, and they get served milk and cookies, and they get treated so well online by all these people thinking that they're gods, treating them like they're gods. So when they run up against some negative press, they don't know how to react. So the only thing they could do is get mad. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You something wrong with you? You don't see all these people praising me? I'm God, nigga. I'm the man.
I don't see it as any different than sports and the fucking reporters in sports. Talent, I'll just say the talent, needs to realize that you don't put yourself on these pedestals. You get placed on pedestals. So instead of getting chopped down and falling all hard and getting mad and shit, you got to realize from the beginning that shit don't mean nothing. Because whether you are in a press room full of Dick Ride blogs, there's gonna be somebody trying to make a story and be a story these days. Oh, I got in an argument with Future because I was talking to him about his baby mama instead of his music or whatever. So I think that if the onus falls more on the talent to realize they're not your friends. Well, they're there to do their fucking job.
And I agree with you. And that's where, again, I look at this. You know, I'm reading the article and they're trying to do a lot of justifications on why the artist may feel this, that, and the third. I'm like, man, fuck that nigga. You know what I mean? I mean, people are allowed to have opinions, you know? And whether people feel in your music, but then there's plenty of riding blogs out there who's gonna, you know, fluff your pillow for you. You know what I mean? So
for today, But that may change tomorrow.
Right.
So you got to keep that in mind.
So
just ride the wave.
We, again, let me see. And in the culture as a whole, though, we still have not matured to the point where artists can make their music and then just simply say, oh, I see my man in the Chicago sometimes. This my album. I disagree with him. But we'll see, you know, I got this, that, and the third happening.
So. That used to happen, though. But then in the 90s, when niggas start running up to Hot 97 and the fucking Source and XXL all that shit, the shit just changed and it hasn't flipped back since.
I don't know, B. That happens in all forms.
You saying country cats is
Keith
Urban and them niggas?
I'm not saying they running up, but I'm saying they get upset about bad articles about their shit.
Okay, and that's
movie stars. And everybody gets mad about somebody writing something bad about their
shit.
And
they're allowed to be upset. I'm talking about this pull up shit.
Oh, okay. Because you got to remember, I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit.
Oh, of course.
Shout out to Erykah Badu.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to be upset about a critic of your work, but that don't mean you got to go up there and pistol whip somebody.
Yeah, my shit, John Blaze. That's what's good, yo. Wow. All right, no doubt. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is, do albums possess the power to change our lives? And I took two lines from this very long article about albums not changing lives as of late. And once again, I believe they're talking about commercial rap, Kirgy. The person said, I'm 27 and I'm no longer encountering new music that moves me the way it once did. Hopefully, the summer will be good to my ears. I'm getting old. So this person is 27.
And he's getting old?
I believe it's a she. But this person's 27, and it's going through the whole article saying there's just not a lot of albums that really changed my life. So I tried to think to myself, okay, at 27, what year was that? Let me see. 97, I think I was 30. So 27, so that's 95. Are you kidding me? You do not want me to pull out the list of albums that came out in 1995 that changed my life at 27. Now, I'm going to ask the rhetorical question. You know the question I'm going to ask. Is it because the records aren't really that good? I don't care how much press Migos and Cardi and them motherfuckers get. Hey, records ain't that fucking good.
Well, they're not. To me, I'm not even going to say that good. I want to say they're not that memorable because they all sound the same. Everybody's shit sounds the same. Everybody's got the same style, the same music. So it's not memorable. It's nothing that you're going to hold on to and be like, oh, yeah, I remember when that shit dropped.
What I failed to do, I should have pulled out the list of the Source, and it says the Source 95, the albums of 1995. How many classics is on that joint? And talk about changing lines. I mean, these are concrete hip-hop classics. Hey, if anybody wants to get out there, you know what I'm saying? Shout to certain members who may not be feeling albums from 95 and post an album from 95 that was fire. I mean, I was 27 then, and these records still mean an awful lot to me the year 1995. I guarantee it. And like Kurt G said, maybe the problem is that all of this shit sounds the same.
It does.
And it gets old in months.
Seconds, nigga. They just moving on. An album don't even get a chance to last. You know how artists used to come out with an album maybe once every year, once every 2 years, an artist would come out with an album. Now, you got to come up with some shit damn near every 3-4 months just to remain relevant in this day and time.
So
I can't even think of another song, and trust me, I never pushed play to listen to the shit, but I heard it a billion times regardless. The only song I can remember commercially last year was Kiki. Can you think of any other fucking song from the radio from last year?
No, I don't listen to the radio.
I can say, Cardi B, but I don't know what the fuck, Red Bottoms or some shit. I don't remember that shit. So this shit is like Kurt G said, it's all the fucking same. You just take the track, put the next person on it, get them the fuck out of there, play the track, get the next person, get them the fuck out of there, and just keep doing that shit. That's what the radio is doing.
So we're getting old. We're getting old, just like the article says. I guess at 27, she's getting old. But there are people who would say the last J. Cole changed my life, I guess, you know, shout to them. And J. Cole doesn't sound like every other trap guy. I'll give you that. I mean, they could say that. Wow. A commercially rap album that I ain't going to say changed my life, because at my age, rap albums are not going to do a lot of things life changing. But damn, when is the last commercial rap record that you could still listen to? I got two.
Oh, okay, is it an album?
4-4 is one of them. I know that.
Okay, right. 4-4. Okay, no, I'm just asking you to name in the last, let's say, 5 years or so, a commercial rap album that still can probably get run like we used to run the classic album. And Kurt G already named one. I got two. One would be Pimp a Butterfly, and two would be 4-4-4. That's me. Yeah. That's King Killer. That's the two that I personally could say I could still run.
Well, I would say the other Kendrick, the one that had that pull up drank shit on it.
But was that really, that wasn't a commercial release though? Was it? I don't know. Oh, maybe it was. Okay. I'm sorry.
I think that one was.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's cool. I'm sorry.
But you said the last.
At least 5 years.
That's more than 5 years though. But yeah. Whatever. That is, comes to mind in fucking 444, like you said.
Got any on that list, son?
All my shit's underground, my nigga. I really ain't. I'm feeling like Smokey Joe right now.
Kurt skipped it like New York City.
Yeah, I'm the underground nigga at this moment. I can't think of commercials. I wasn't even really fucking with that 444 shit like that. I mean, I liked it.
Yo, when Igri's fucking with triple fours, yo, you know something is a paradigm shift.
Man, just listened to that shit again the other day.
There you go.
Still like it.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. But I see you put a shiv in my back once again off that Pimp a Butterfly, though.
What did I do now?
Yeah, you put a shiv in my back. I said a Pimp a Butterfly. You was like, ah, fuck that.
No, you're absolutely right. I was saying for me.
No doubt.
That was the shit.
Damn, you got two shivs in one show, nigga?
Yeah, right?
You fell on a razor blade or something. That wasn't me. But you still didn't answer, though. This is off topic, but you still didn't answer publicly.
About what?
You kind of answered, but you need to define your answer, B. Is Remy Ma a jail nigga?
Again, B, what can I say? I can't call her a jail. I don't believe that she's a jail nigga. I think she has anger issues, and that type of thing is like, now, if Remy Ma got caught holding up a liquor store or got caught, you know, selling drugs or some crazy shit, pimping and pandering, any of that crazy shit.
Beat up bitches.
Huh?
Her thing is beating up broads.
Okay. Right, right.
She's definitely, I'm a back up what you said. She definitely got anger issues.
Yeah,
she does.
Baby. I can't necessarily say that's the prototypical jail nigga
type, but right. Yeah, but okay. it keeps landing her in jail though. So I guess to answer your question, she is jail nigga by proxy.
She a county nigga.
So and thank God I wasn't a jail nigga, because I know about having anger issues.
So I don't see that as the prototypical jail nigga. You all know, right, I mean, it's right. Not
so
like
questions now answered.
Right? Yeah, it ain't like she's like A.R. Ab and shit. You know what I mean?
But if just, she beat somebody else up, though, B.
Yo, yeah. I mean, if she continues assaulting people, you know, yeah, I can give her that threshold and shit. So that's what's good. So on that album's as far as changing our lives, I'm sure the young people will list their a couple of young folks in the chain might want to list albums that changed their lives, whether if it changed my life, you know, a cat in my age, I doubt it, but when I was 27,
shit, albums change your life, B.
Well, no doubt. But I'm saying, but when I was 27, oh shit, nigga, we're still in the golden era. You
right,
know what
so
I mean?
Your life was changed every other week,
right? You know what I mean? So that's what's up. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, what do I got here? Oh, this is absolutely just, this is unfortunate. DJ Spinderella fired from Salt and Pepper.
That shit hurt me.
I just...
That hurt. Only hurt because of this. Because another DJ, longtime DJ, a longtime member of the group, i.e. EPMD, just gets the shiv, as you said earlier.
DJ Scratch, shout to Scratch. Shout to Scratch Vision. That app is kind of fire, too. Shout to Scratch Vision. And it's not the only one. Now, this particular DJ didn't get fired, but this particular DJ did the underhanded shit Grandmaster D on that Houdini shit. I mean, so...
He bought that shit on himself.
Yeah, that's true, but you got cats out there going, I don't know. In the article, it doesn't say why Spinderella was fired. And I'm assuming our budget's that tight that the two principal rappers was like, we don't need a fucking DJ.
We don't need to split three ways.
So, once again this week, I'm going to just drive in the other lane for a little bit. It ain't personal. It's just business. Right? So, do you feel the same, or did you feel the same when the original Spinderella got cut?
Well, see, we don't know under these differences in Wikipedia, and I did check that. It said the duo originally called themselves Supernature, along with DJ LaToya Hansen, 1985. And on the cover of Hot, Cool, and Vicious in 1986, the original Spin is on there. Now, I don't know her story, and I don't know what happened. I do remember a little bit of controversy about that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about that. But in 1987, the group recorded Deidre Roper, a 15-year-old high school student named Spinderella, after the departure of the original DJ. So, but still, B, she's been in the group since she's 15. This is well over 20, 25, 30 years in the group.
Yeah, so that business thing starts to, it's business after a few years of doing something, maybe one or two albums, yeah, and they got rid of them. Okay, it's business. But at this point, yeah, it could be business too, but it's a lot of personal in there at this point. Like, come on, son. We've been together.
What's the name of the group?
Salt and Pepper, but she is a major part of the group.
And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just
I know that, but that's okay. Why they could do that without having any type of blowback, as far as it's called Salt and Pepper.
Like y'all said, how important is the DJ these days?
Well,
but just imagine this, B. Run DMC.
I mean that negatively.
I'm just saying. But imagine this: Run DMC firing Jam Master J.
And
that would have hurt, B.
And Run DMC really not performing since Jay's death, because Jay was so integral in the group. I mean, you
Special
can't,
Reed.
You know, B, I'm sorry.
This run is a reverence. So.
These legacy groups, and Salt and Pepper is a legacy group.
No.
You cannot get rid of. Now, look, I don't know what personal junk. It didn't say why she was fired. Again, EPMD, the same thing. What they doing to DJ Scratch is some bullshit. But again, budget's that tight. Eric and Parrish really still don't even fuck with each other. They only come together to do concerts because they know their solo careers do not exist. Everybody wants to hear the EPMD joints. You know what I'm saying? Eric Sermon probably got one or two joints he could do, yes. But still, be these legacy groups, when you going to learn? And it's not going to benefit Salt and Pepper in the end to get rid of their longtime DJ for over 30 years.
Well, as I mentioned maybe a couple of months ago, the Temptations still out here performing with Otis and six other dudes that ain't never
seen different.
Before.
That's just totally different.
The thing is, but it's going to benefit them in the short term because they have shows and shit set up right now. They got a residency coming up out Vegas and some shit. So it's going to benefit them now because they can just grab any old DJ back there because they're the ones, the voices. On like 99.9% of the songs, they are the voices. I think Spin got on maybe one or two cuts over the years. So all their major hits is just them two. So anybody really paying attention to the DJ like that, because it's not like the DJ is going to be at this point getting a set where she's going to be up there cutting. Right. Get right. Cutting and scratching and showing off her skills on some Jazzy Jeff shit.
I'm trying to tell you, yo.
It's pretty unfortunate, till, killer. They ain't going to care.
Wait till Rocky Buchanan and them get that whole shit set up. And it's time for Salt and Pepper to be introduced into the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. And Spinderella's got to be there.
She
got
to be there.
You know what I mean? I just, you can't. The point I'm saying is that you cannot run from a legacy. When you going to learn? When the fuck you gonna learn?
Maybe they'll pull an EPMD, show up, get their trophy, and get the fuck on.
Oh,
we ain't trying to split that paper three ways, nigga.
That shit's unfortunate, yo. That
it's very unfortunate, but it's business.
Shout out to Spinderella, yo. No doubt.
For true.
No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Hideout DJ still faking the funk. So apparently, Eagry saw this video. I saw the video. But I had to watch it again to see the hidden DJ or somebody was in the cut somewhere actually doing the DJ.
Underneath the tables.
Underneath the table while the good-looking girl was out front and you were
pumping her fist.
Yeah, right.
Not doing nothing.
Touching buttons.
Right.
Reaching over, acting like she's doing something while this nigga is back there under the table moving this shit and actually playing records.
Well, again, so Eagry asked a rhetorical question. Again, since we're talking about DJs, what is a DJ? What's a real DJ? What does a DJ do? In this day and age, there are all types of DJs. There are the, as we like to call them, the prototypical push-button DJ, okay? Who, again, is easy to get a database. The Hot 100 records from the last 5 years, 2 seconds on a download, boom, you're ready to go. You're not mixing. You ain't doing none of that shit. You're doing a lot of posing and a lot of, hey, happy birthday to Jane. Doing a lot of that type of shit. And you're making pretty good money. Okay. There are the actual skilled DJs. The DJs who have an innate knowledge of records from different crowds, different eras, and mix them very well. That's where you got the GG scratches. The Jazzy Jeffs and the DJ Jamods who can, you know, make a fucking Canadian Mountie record and then has that shit blended with some fucking Primo instrumental and you done had a couple drinks at the barbecue, you can't tell what the fuck's going on because you just got bamboozled the DJ so good. You know what I mean? You have that. So there's a lot of skill levels. These MIDI controllers and all this push button shit. Look, there are some young kids out there programming the shit out of that box that I can't do. Word is born, and they are talented in their own right. They may have a knowledge deficiency as far as the music goes, but as far as working the buttons, nigga, what? They cannot be fucked with. So what is a DJ? How can we answer that question preeminently?
I mean, for me, the name DJ is what's being hijacked here. To me, the name DJ is being hijacked. If you don't even have any DJing skills, which is actually being able, like you said, pick the records, know the crowd, knowing how to blend and whatever, and scratch. You ain't got to know how to do both, but at least one of them. And actually be able to understand what a DJ does and what a DJ is, then I don't think you should be able to even use the name DJ in your name. You should just be whoever you are. You know what I'm saying? Be Paris Hilton and spinning records. Don't be DJ Paris Hilton.
Well, again, like I said, with the advent of technology, I mean, to me, there's a difference. Again, guys like us, we're going out. It doesn't matter if we're on a cruise ship or at a backyard barbecue. Somebody's spinning somewhere. We're critiquing.
Yes, sir.
We are critiquing. And my recent trip to the ATL, I sent Kurgy a picture of the DJ, and I critiqued that nigga. He showed up with 2 EV tops, no sub, you know what I mean? His MIDI controller and his laptop and shit. You know, what can I say? Wasn't doing a hell of a lot of mixing. Couple blends got off there and there. Somebody he must have knew something because he did get off a couple of Planet Patrols and shit, you know, at your boy's 50th, you know. and that was good to hear. But generally speaking, he was a middle-of-the-road type of DJ. But that's us. Most people don't give a fuck about that.
As long as they hear what they want to hear, it's all good.
It ain't even matter of fact, cats ain't even off of that shit. Cats are just showing up with straight music reinforcement equipment and a laptop.
Music reinforcement meaning what?
Meaning subs and speakers.
It's crazy.
So, I'm just saying. So, and if you're doing a corporate event, why are you mixing?
You don't really need to do mixing at a corporate event.
That's what I'm saying.
You keep the music running.
Right. That's all your job is doing is keep the music running. Keep it middle of the road. You know what I'm saying? Keep it pop. A couple of line dance, jump offs and shit.
Get the chicken dance.
You know what I'm saying? Right. All that shit.
You know what I mean? They still doing the chicken dance, my nigga?
Corporate joint?
Come on. No, I don't even know if you can get away with a stanky leg at a corporate joint.
Oh, no, sir.
Damn, nigga.
You're fired.
I'm about to turn off your mic, my nigga.
They're unplugging.
I totally had forgot about that fucking song, B. I hated that fucking song. I can't believe you just brought that back to my mind.
I hate most line dance songs. So, you know. So, I don't know, you know. I'm going back to the fucking Primo. And Primo was like, if you haven't carried at least 4 crates of records, you're not a real DJ.
He can't fault people for having Soretto, though, because God damn it, if Soretto would have existed,
Primo
back
got
then,
Soretto right now. He's got it right now. I know he does.
No, it goes beyond that. That's what I'm saying. It goes beyond that.
Era when he said that shit, he was just talking about the push button was just coming along.
Right.
And he's like, y'all niggas out here pretending.
No, but that's why I said there's that. That's why I started out the topic with all these different, what I see is different classifications of guys who are making money doing events, whether they be just barbecues or corporate events or whatever. That's why generally you'll have to pay to see somebody like Kid Capri or Jeff or Grandmaster Flash. Versus, you know what I'm saying, you having to pay a guy $300, $400, $500 to do a wedding or a barbecue or whatever cats is charging, you know what I'm saying, just to, you know, line up all these line dancers and take a constant stream of requests from your relatives and shit, you know what I mean? So
that's too much work.
That is, B. That's the worst, son. When niggas has just got a whole stream of fucking requests, you like, B, what the hell? You about to put up a fucking sign, no requests. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, if you gonna give me a list, nigga, give it to me before we play.
Exactly. I don't need to be interrupted every fucking 2 minutes.
And think about this, and we have these DJs, and the text chain is a hub of DJs. Of course, us three, you know, are DJs in a modest retirement. We come out every now and then and deliver some moonshine. You know, you got guys like Big Rush, who's doing corporate events. Your boy Won the Dial, he's doing it heavy.
Creative.
You know, creative, of course. DJ Q. I mean, so there's a bevy of DJs in and out of the text chain, and we all go ahead and we DJ to a certain different styles. Trust me. You know, if I'm one to dial on them, unless I just want to mix at them corporate events or Big Rush, nigga, I ain't even going front, yo. I'm going to push a fucking button, nigga.
He's just on the fader.
Yeah, basically, I'm just being dead ass, yo. I'm just being dead ass because there's a lot of who just don't give a fuck. But then I've done joints where all the years of a DJ paid off. You know, where I'm doing joints and I got people from Newark, New Jersey who grew up in a Zanzibar. Oh, I got the knowledge to be able to rock that crowd. Right. You know what I mean? I don't know if your push button man can handle that. You know what I mean? So that's what's good. So, all right, are we ready for the world famous?
Yeah, after I just say, to wrap it up, what a DJ is not.
Oh.
Is what that goddamn video was.
That like I said, B, niggas is hijacking, B. They hijacking the name DJ.
Again.
When you got a nigga sitting up there with a fucking monkey head on, bouncing around, and you like, and the music is still playing, you're like, when is he gonna change records? And the music is, you're like, come on, B, you know this nigga ain't DJing if the music is still playing already.
that.
He ain't even switch records, but the records is switching on their own.
One of my favorite DJs said, if you got time to pose in front of the equipment and wave to people, you're not busy enough. So, so anyway, so but shout out to all my favorite DJs. No Doubt, you know, Jeff, Louis Vega, DJ Spin, Jamad, you know, all the good, J-Rock, you know what I mean? The list goes on. I pay to see every last one of them niggas. Yo, okay, Kurt G's world famous. Let's go.
All right, this week we got Jack Jones, The Fix. That's Jack Jones, The Fix. And we got Noah, The Flood, The Worst Is Yet To Come. That's Noah, The Flood, The Worst Is Yet To Come. An instrumental joint is Emma Pia Zoning Out Volume 2. That's Emma Pia Zoning Out Volume 2.
Ah, that's what's good. Yo, you got anything left over, son?
No, sir. Just again, glad to be alive. Happy to be here talking with my brothers and spreading the hip hop word.
Hey, you know how it is. So before we get out, I do got something left over. Continue to send in the Hip Hop Digest sing alongs. Okay.
Yes, we have gotten a few.
We've gotten a few. Okay. So like I said, you know, it's not every week topic, but trust me, you're going to be, you know, we're going to drop some jewels on cats every now and then. But let me say it again. We need to stack the Hip Hop Digest sing-alongs. So thanks to everybody who has sent. I knew it was like a cat like Creative. It's going to be 2 seconds before he sent his in. Professional ass MC niggas, it's easy for y'all and shit. Swerve look like he's almost ready for his shit, so
You know I gotta get it done, B.
Okay, shit, so that's what's good. Alright man, we'll see y'all next week. You know how we do.
Alright,
peace.
One.
Started from nothing, coming up in the game. When I started writing, shit was never the same. Took a little time, but I perfected the flames. Made it to the fork of the intersection and changed the lane that I was in. These lanes I might offend, they know I got bars, but I don't be in a gym. Take it from the top and start it over again. My knowledge is in the sky, I guess it's over your head. I find it honestly innocent when I'm rhyming these synonyms. They questioning whether or not it's him again. Definitive in the game, they only scrimmaging. I'm only making a point, call me a pyramid. But when I finish in top five position and stockpile percentages, monetizing the vision. See, I'm a veteran, opposition, get rid of them. Hit them with my delivery, lyricism is limitless.
Okay. Yeah. A general bless right there, man. It's your boy Supreme Allah, man. Comrade Camp, Hustle Heat is in the building. The CT. Yo. Started hand to hand moving illegal things. Also as a DJ, dropping a needle thing. They call me Yellow Jacket, I got a lethal sting. King Bless that, take your time and focus aim. My sonic boom so large, it made my own lane. This is Bar Cafe, them still sleeping, it's so strange. Pain lames you prep for, they clone each other daily. Why show them respect more? Next going on the chopping block is ball. The Rhyme 9 extended clip and hits all. Challengers, a storm shadow. Damaged amateurs, fake warriors. Wash them up like old jeans, pay they glory kid. The story is, you fools gon' lose. Step to Prime Omega, you fools get bruised. Yeah, I got 20 identities. We all nasty, son, you will remember me. Bang!
music. What up?
As the world turns, I spread like germs and whistle while I swing machetes to the sound of silence. That ain't an act of violence, it's an act of kindness. Every passerby get blessed, strong arm and been a bull charging. Trembling these Mormons, talking shit. Who want beef? I'll cook it on a foreman in a small apartment while I'm starving, popping out my ribs. Lost sheep, hit a wolf, howl of valor, bloodthirsty when a cabin's open. Call that sink or swim, yeah. A million rhymes to an inkless pen. Too many times, couldn't make amends. My sweat became the best revenge. Success is every step ahead, and we're the best of friends. Yeah, a million rhymes for the judge and jury. Break me out of purgatory, kill the murder story. Watch me shine light and build on where the dirt choppy. Filthiness turned glory with no burner on me. Bow peace, but I'll swing when it's worth it for me. Been a beast, no more but comics. A bomb track like a De La Roca. Drop facts, who the fuck you fooling? Pull the shit like a porta party. Me and Mike like Clyde and Barney. Riding dirty with no product on me. Bump what I recorded last. Late tracks on Train Hall last. Your head is trying to stop me. Bringing drama to the game on Sweet and Bobby. Breezy like Mike and Tony's with a laser 40. Slay softy, shit the spinal column. No remorse. Not at all. Show a boss, stay slides rocky. Nowadays they poppin' Molly, tryna take the shorty. Been a problem since my brain was forming. Couldn't throw me down, rockin' my style, keeping the bases stolen. Shine sun, even when it's fucking raining on me. Case in point, stay in the ball, homie, you can't control me. Wishy washy, take a walk, or I send you Scully. Hack bars, make you beg for mummy. Bring me joy, call the Kid Cudi. Unemployed, still I live lovely. Play my cards right, no Jim Rummy. Collect thoughts off the cuss, same as Big Brother. Clutch freedom, ain't nobody gon' strip it from me. On the front lines, warring with these pigs sluggin'. Unjust, snuff, corrupt, on fist of fury. The same handle, yo, I'm still dirty. The most beautiful, the thing since Keith Murray. You heard me? I probably grow up in my mid-30s. Stupid nice with a few pennies. Ain't in no big hurry. Rep my city like Jim Kelly. From the urban to suburban world. Out to the sticks, tell them. My trailer smoke, air them out from here to Philly. Watch them all scurry. Fisher Price stars get buried.
No stopping the man, consider me a monster. I don't do this for the gram, death to imposters. I got you, this is Black Boy Magic. Yeah.
I'm dope in real life. I'm dope in real life. I'm dope in real life.
ST Dot. Allergies. Blanco, Lord Tam, motherfucker.
yo. By the time the night fall, my shit popping on my ninth ball. When Sean P come to Law Town, I'm who they call. Most of these niggas flipping brown, man, I stick to raw. I stick to making that yell, man, turning it hard. My nigga, I want some wobbling and all the more. Walk up in that building wild and buy out the mall. Was born in a little city, so I want it all. Having American dreams, house with a garage. This, that shit that I'm lacking, time to set it off. With a bitch like Queen Latifah and set it off. Call me bitch, she clean your teeth up, you dirty hog. Loading my clip up, I blow every fire, I live it, dog. My nigga gave me the business and left me in charge. My nigga, let's get this spinach and buy matching cars. And when we get it, we did it, nigga, living boss. The life I want, the one like lost. Anyone, pick one, I want one. Cause nigga, where I live, you need a gun. Niggas on the run. Dodging the homo, how a nigga stay. Underground killers, UGK.
It's perfect time when I'm running, shining and climbing. I'm in a different zone, breaking, pushing niggas home and reclining and never hiding. I'm front line, just one rhyme. Rest of rappers in the game like a one-time verse builder. I squeeze off a 16, need a quarantine, cause I roll with a 16. Lean in the cannon, painted like Peter Wood grain. Do my thing, knuckle game, it's like who can. Hang them high, shoot strings like Hussein. Got false nights with dark nights, no Bruce Wayne. Butane flow, everybody know. And a hammer lift your soul like Brandon Lee up in front. No, Young Term got me. And we keep it funky from the Benzos to Jalopies. Dungaree jeans and concealed new hammer. I squeeze off the metal or I spit out the grammar.
Let me tell you about my city, it's where I grit.
These underground killers.
Let me tell you about my city, it's where I grit.
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two.
Check it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you seen it or heard it, maybe probably I did it. Maybe or maybe not, I admit what I committed. Exhibit the truth because I'm living proof wise. I had no disguise, time to vocalize. Dig it.
Look through the window, tell me what you see. The M. Illitan School of Philosophy. When niggas get dealt with mental velocity, connect my sentences and thoughts like apostrophes. You represent hypocrisy, it ain't no stopping me. Until I fulfill my term of my prophecy. My attitude is scarred by this inner city urban. Illidolo stress on my brain just like a turban. Who get grazed by the bullet? Triggers who quick to pull it. The anti-bullshitter, Islamic extortioner. You're the forfeiter, unfortunately. Niggas who wanna jip me, I cause humidity, so come and get me. I'm simply the cat to lay back, I chill and watch you. The silent ninja, intend to injure, now I got you. Sanity was lost, so now I found insane. I'm thinking streets to jeeps, hours, days to weeks. I even speak to geeks, I hope my fortune is sweet. I'm discreet in the street, but that's just the way I play though. I lay low, but over your head just like a halo. Hell's angel, these thoughts you cannot untangle. When I drop jewels, niggas, they wear it like a bangle. Check it out one time for your mind like that. If you seen it or heard it, maybe probably I did it. Maybe or maybe not, I admit what I committed. Exhibit the truth because I'm living proof wise. I had no disguise, my verdict's no alibis. If you seen it or heard it, maybe probably I did it. Maybe or maybe not, I admit what I committed. Exhibit the truth because I'm living proof wise. I had no disguise, no verdicts, no alibis. Dig it, look into the window, tell me what you see. Lieutenant University of Philosophy. Well, you're not possibly escaping what I'm meditating. A shackle of thought tackle you while I'm educating. Your dome resonating from inhalation of darkness as I spark the smart shit for which you're waiting. Situating me at the top of the pile. Wild Delaware vow, Pennsylvanian subterranean style. Step up into my crevice and taste the medicine of the champagne. King like Evelyn, leaving your level in sabotage. It's all camouflage like the devil in guns and coke peddling. Olympic medal and flashback. That over war veteran blast at the programmer bringing lashes cross your back. Awesome accuracy of a brainwash. Bosnian troop that swooped down through your roof without sound. On a lyrical nat turn a mission. Reacting off of intuition. Continuously alert, no intermission. If your ears hurt, you shouldn't listen. That mean you artificial in my style of poison. Your brain tissue. Getting maimed and crippled once the gamma rays hit you. My grain's habitual and I should never go against the ritual I've been mastered.
veteran ever since. I was among the flavor youth, remain sharper than a saber tooth. My deliverance is self-evidence, vital lyrical science. Now, see if you seen it or heard it, maybe probably I did it. Maybe or maybe not, I'll admit what I committed. Exhibit the truth, cause I'm living proof wise. I had no disguise, no verdicts, no alibi. If you seen it or heard it, maybe probably I did it. Maybe or maybe not, I admit what I committed. Exhibit the truth, because I'm living proof wise. I had no disguise, trying to vocalize. Who knows what you snorted, or who support what you recorded. But don't get it distorted in this orbit you're reported. This authentic sort of shit's imported, exported. Styles that get sported, my paragraphs aortic behold. The illest medley lock you in a chokehold. Illa del epilogue, top league, plush plus in vogue. Slice tongues from your area code. Student of life that's on the rugged exterior mode. Blind a devil with the bold black and gold shine. I walk the thin line and hold mine. Let the people respond, it's mine, detect mine. Swine decline, let the power refine. Build like it's 1999. In this day and time, the reptilian roam the sextillion ton. Your Armageddon Guan come from the sun. Untouchable cuts to sun, clutchable for some to overstand. So y'all sit back and wonder, damn. I like to take this time to tell you who I am. Original man, Black Thought, aka Lieutenant Malik B. You be the militant, known to vanish in the atmosphere. We up there like birds like. If you seen it or heard it, maybe probably I did it. Maybe or maybe not, I admit what I committed. Exhibit the truth, because I'm living proof wise. I had no disguise and no alibi. So if you seen it or heard it, maybe probably I did it. Maybe or maybe not, I admit what I committed. Exhibit the truth, because I'm living proof wise. I had no disguise, trying to vocalize. We got no alibi.